The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today we're going to conclude our series on the doctrines or the teachings that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. And so with that in mind, if you will go with me once again to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, we begin in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. It's real clear if we read in this scripture that the Apostle Paul is telling us that we are to go on to perfection. These verses that we read here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, are very, very encouraging to all of us that we are to leave the principles of the doctrines, the teachings, these elementary principles, these elementary teachings, these basic doctrines of Jesus Christ, and we are to go on to perfection. Leaving the principles in these verses does not mean to abandon the principles that we've been seeing. Rather, we are to build on them and we are to become perfected. We are to become complete. We are to become mature. We are to become mature spiritual Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. When we are perfected and we are matured, we become like our Lord and our Master and our Savior, like our Father in heaven. These teachings, these doctrines of Hebrews 6, as we have already established and are restating it again here, they are the first principles. They are the basic. They are the elementary. They're the low level. This is the first. These are things that we're to have first of the living, the godly way of life. These are the church's foundational doctrines or teachings. Brethren, please understand that once we have grasped and we have incorporated these principles, these teachings into our lives, we can now advance to maturity and the way God wants us to live, and we can come to know Him better and better. Because until we get these straight, until we have these elementary principles firmly grasped and incorporated in our lives, we're not going to really, really, really see the depth of God and the understanding of Him and His principles and His plan of salvation. So today I want to encourage all of us to move forward in doctrine. Right at the very beginning of the sermon, I want us to understand that going on to perfection as it is not one of these basic or elementary foundational doctrines. It is not, if you were going to make a list, it is not one of the list. This is the first step on a road, on a journey of Christianity. We have to have the foundation laid first on which we can now build, to use the term here, that we can go on to perfection. We start by coming to understand what the Bible says about maturing in the Word of God and in our walk with Him, or in our going on to perfection, or another way is going forward to maturity. Brethren, continuing to lay a foundation over and over will only result in a house not being completed. Once the foundation has been laid, and once that foundation is settled, we can safely and we can comfortably move ahead, leaving the foundation completely intact. And please also remember, I did not say to desert the foundation, but to leave it, by not laying it down again and over and over and over again. So as we move deeper and deeper into this subject, please realize there can be two types of foundations. One of the types is secure and permanent and does not have to be relayed over and over and over. While on the other hand, there is a type of a foundation that is a faulty foundation. Jesus Christ speaks of this, and let's go there, of this faulty foundation over in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, let's begin in verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these words of mine and does them. Now, you can go back and see all the principles that he's talking about in this context, but he's referring here to, and he's going to show us, it's like a foundation. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're taking a look at here, these two types of foundations. And he says, and if he does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So we see one is a solid foundation of which you're supposed to lay to build your house, and from there then you start building the house. And there's another type of foundation in this analogy that he's giving is it's a faulty foundation, and you really can't build upon that foundation because it moves, it shifts, and you may have to redo it over and over and over and over again. And what has it done to the house? Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, because he taught them as one having authority. He taught them like he was one who knew what he was talking about. He didn't just repeat the words. He knew it. He understood it. He felt it. They sensed it. Not like the scribes, who simply repeated the words. So, brethren, when we understand the first principles in Hebrews 6, and we begin to build upon them, which is what we are told to do, it is then that we can know for sure that we are not on sandy soil. Because we can build these Hebrews 6 doctrines or teachings are the foundation. And they are all completely in harmony and harmonized and in union with our solid rock, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So with this, let's move forward. Let's move forward. The statement, let us not go unto perfection, in the original is, it's a very emphatic type of statement, and it would be more along the lines of, let us be carried on to this perfection. Let us be moved along. Let us be carried on to this perfection. It's a sense of, let it happen, because it can happen. Once we've laid the foundation, we can be moved along to maturity, to perfection. It can happen. Because after all, Jesus Christ and God the Father are absolutely ready and able by the power of the Holy Spirit to carry us forward to whatever it is that is necessary to prepare us for an eternal weight of glory. You know I'm going to read a verse that says that, don't you? But that's what it carries us on to. And He is so capable, He, the Father, and the Son, are so capable of moving us along, carrying us forward unto this perfection. We don't think He can do it? Wrong. If we don't think He can do it, we might need to go back and look at the foundation. Because if the foundation is not laid correctly, then there may be doubts. It is at that time that he carries us forward onto the perfection, to the ultimate perfection, that we will receive the eternal weight of glory when we have been perfected. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, this is there. We know it. We understand it. We've accepted that. We understand. We've lived our lives. We are changing our lives to live a particular way of life based upon this knowledge, based upon this. That the life of Jesus also may be manifest, may be made known in our body, in our lives. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, and this is written in Psalm 116 in verse 10, I believe and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. This is the Apostle Paul saying. He says, we also believe. I also believe and I'm speaking. And so he's telling us, this is what he's saying here. Knowing that he, God the Father, who raised up the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. We're going to be raised together. We're going to be before God the Father. We're going to be before with Jesus Christ. We're going to be presented together with Jesus Christ. We all together. This is what he's saying. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Do we give God the glory in our lives, that we know that we can understand these things? Or do we take this as ho-hum? Oh, it's a second. Oh, we've known this. I've known this for 20 years. I've known this for 40 years. I've known this for whatever it is. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So whatever happens to us in this physical life, it says, this is light affliction, and it's only for a moment. I know, and all too often we get hung up in that, and we think this is the biggest thing in the world. It isn't. Somebody's either attacking us, or somebody is using something for us to grow by to become more like Jesus Christ. And we can focus on the attack, or we can focus on that God is going to use this to bring us to the place to become like Jesus Christ. And we choose. Which one do we focus on? We get to choose that. If the foundation is laid and we're letting God carry us on to perfection, which one are we going to choose? Therefore, we do not lose heart. I know I've read this. I'm going to read it again now. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, here we go, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Which one do we focus on? One is showing us that we might not be really relying upon the solid foundation that we need to have, and therefore we're allowing God to move us on, or we are. Which one is it? The word perfection in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 means, And I'm not meaning here a legal definition. I'm meaning more like the sense of it in that sense, you know, in that context. It would mean the state of the more intelligent. Somebody who is going on to perfection is someone who obviously in the Christian way of life is much more intelligent than the person who's not. Would we agree with that? I think we would all agree. So in other words, the state of those who are full-grown men in Christ, because they're no longer babies. Being a baby is a wonderful thing if you're a baby. If you're a babe in Christ, whatever your age is, it's a wonderful place. But we're to move on. We're to go on. And this is what all of these doctrines, this is these things we've been looking at, and now this going on to perfection is showing us, is telling us. We've been babies. Good thing. Because it's better to have been born than not to have been born. It's better to be a Christian who is a newborn babe in Christ than never to have been one. But do we want to stay there? No. We want to move on. We want to go on. We want to grow up. This is what this is saying. Grow up. Go forward. And having said these things, I'm sure that most every one of us would agree that in the Church of God today, some members do go on to a Christ-like maturity. On the other hand, some remain immature. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that some will move on and some remain babes? And what are some reasons or some things that we could look at that we could see why some are going on to perfection or becoming Christ-like, spiritually mature Christians? Are there things that we can look at to see that? I think so. And so what I'd like for us to do, I'd like for us to take a look at some of the characteristics of those who are in a good position to go on to perfection. The first one that I have, and this is the order I have them in, not implying it's the order, it's the order that I have, there is a difference, is their doctrinal foundation is secure because that foundation describes the salvation of God through a relationship. It is described through a relationship of love and faith and obedience toward God. Their doctrinal foundation is secure because their doctrinal foundation, what they've got laid on, describes the salvation of God through a relationship with God in love and faith and obedience. They are people who are submitted to the full will of God. We can remember Jesus Christ even saying, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John 7 and verse 17. John 7 verse 17. Jesus Christ is speaking. We could read several verses before and get the context. But in verse 17, he says, "If any man will do his," and the his is the Father's will, verse 16 shows that very clearly. He's talking about, if any man will do the will of the Father, he, that man, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, I understand it right off that we can maybe get confused by the teachings and saying, but it says not laying again the foundations of the doctrines of Christ. Well, he says, they're not my doctrines, they're the Father's doctrine. He is showing in John 7 here, he is saying, I'm walking around on the earth and I am listening to what he, God, is wanting me to do. And that's what I'm doing. Did they have the same doctrine? Did they have the understanding this is the same? Of course they did. But he's trying to show us that it isn't come from a man, it comes from God. This is what he's saying. Now, God has resurrected Jesus Christ, is now at the right hand of the Father, and the Apostle Paul later is writing about it, and he's describing, these are the doctrines of Christ. Of course they are, because it's his church. I mean, so if you see that, I'm not trying to get into that and focus on all of that, but I'm just trying to let you see and understand that I understand that there are times that it might seem confusing. Well, is it the Father's or is it the Son's? And the answer is yes. So a second characteristic of those that might be in a good position to go on to perfection would be those who can take the strong meat of God's Word. They can take the strong meat of God's Word. They obviously are going to be in a better position to move on to perfection. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, for which chapter 6 was written. Chapter 5 was written and it led into what we covered in chapter 6. So let's go to chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Let's begin in verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He's talking about a comparison between a little baby. You can't give a newborn meat. Their bodies are not ready for it. They wouldn't comprehend it. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. Their body would reject it. They need the milk. And using this in a spiritual way, a newborn babe in Christ needs the milk of the Word to be brought along to move them along to where? To go on to perfection. To become like Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you who ought to be able to be teachers are still needing to be taught the early principles, the first principles of the oracles of God. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God of righteousness because he is a babe. Like I said earlier, a baby is a beautiful thing. It's a good thing if you're a baby. But if you're a grown adult, been around for a long time, we shouldn't be acting like babies. Verse 14, but strong meat, this is meaning mature, more of the how to go on to perfection type things, this is what he's getting at, belongs to them that are of full age, those that are mature, spiritually speaking. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A newborn babe in Christ can be taught a lot of things, even false things, because they have nothing to base it on. Just like a baby. You can have this newborn baby and have this baby grow up in your house and you can teach it and they can learn anything. They can learn whatever you teach them, even the truth. The same is with a Christian. But he's saying, you should already know these things. You've been around long enough. But you're like babies. And so that's when he then goes into chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the first principles, this is where that all comes in. So the second characteristic is that those who can use the strong meat of God's word are in a better position to go on to perfection. A third characteristic would be those that are going on to maturity have the ability to discern between good and evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. We just read that, but I want to go to another place as well. I want us to go to chapter 12 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, and we begin reading in verse 54. Luke 12, verse 54, we will begin. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there be heat, and it comes to pass. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? Why is it that you're not able to discern what is good and what is evil? This is what he's saying. This is maybe to us it may seem like it's a strange way of putting it, but that's what he's saying. How is it that you can't judge what is right? So, Brian, please realize one who is mature, a Christ-like person going on to perfection, should be able to judge also between false teachers and between true teachers. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and let's see this. So a mature person is one who should be able to discern between good and evil. They also should be able to discern the difference between a false teacher and a true teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into the church. Hereby know you this, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now this in itself is an incredible doctrine, and at some point in time we may have this explained more fully in a sermonette, because I don't think it would lend itself of and by itself to a full sermon. It might, but I think we could cover it enough in a sermonette. But every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist that confesses that he didn't come in the flesh. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and now even already is in the world. This Antichrist, you've heard it's going to come. I'm telling you, John, I'm telling you, it's already here. It's already in the world. There's already some that cannot discern that are already saying that he didn't come in the flesh. That's in particular the essence of what he's saying. I'll tie it into our topic in just a moment. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. You are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. A mature person is going to be able to have discernment, to be able to know this is good and this is evil. And they're also going to be able to discern this is a right teacher and this is a false teacher. That's what he's getting at here. And he's giving it through an example, through an illustration. You can also put in your notes, we're not going to read it, but you can also put in your notes, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So a mature believer should also be able to discern between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23. We're not going to go there. But you know what it says. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery and fornication and uncleanness, lasciviousness, and it goes on through the list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And a person who is a mature, true believer going on to perfection should be able to discern between the two. And we would all go, well, yeah, of course. Well, yeah, we know this because you have the Spirit of God, but there are so many people who don't see this. Example, watch television or not. And you will see very clearly that they are teaching you works of the flesh as being okay. Wrong. And we should be able to discern that. A true believer should obviously be able to discern the difference of these things. Rather, in view of Paul's exhortation, let us go on to perfection or maturity. Spiritual maturity has a number of very important characteristics also. I have some statements that I want to make, and I really don't have verses with them. Are there verses with them? Yes. But I want to just make some points for you. I want to make them, if you're taking notes, to write them down in your notes. The first one is spiritual maturity requires growth after our spiritual begattle. We can't stay as babes. As cute as a baby is, we want them to grow up. Spiritual maturity best describes a person who is concerned with godly service rather than self-service. A spiritual mature person is the person who is going to be looking after God's things as opposed to looking after self. It's about God. It's not about me. It's about God. I know many of you know that I've made that statement for years. It's all about God. It's not about us. Another one, characteristic, is spiritual maturity involves action. In other words, it requires doing versus arguing or stalling or sitting on the bench. It's a doer, not a hearer only, but a doer. James talks about that. And I have one more in this context, and that is that spiritual maturity describes one who understands how life works, and he looks to God rather than to man for instruction. Spiritual maturity understands how life works, and he looks to God rather than looking to man for instruction, for direction, for support, for deliverance. Because he knows where the answers are going to come from. One area of our spiritual development that is essential is to realize that a perfection in our faith will bring us finally into the fullness of Christ. A perfection in our faith will bring us to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's going on to perfection. And brethren, we become mature in our faith as we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God, insomuch as faith comes by hearing or through the knowledge of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in other words, a mature Christian is going to know what the Word of God teaches. Not opinions. Not repeating what they've heard. They're going to repeat what the Word of God says. Because they're going to know it. Here's where I put in my plea for more prayer and Bible study and fasting and meditation and all of those things. That's where it comes from. Mature Christian is going to be doing these things because they're going to know they need it. And they're going to be moving on to perfection because they're going to know what do I base my life on, how to live my life? It's in the book. They're going to know what the book says. Maturing spiritual maturing is understanding all of God's word as it is revealed, and they will know that is also essential toward spiritual maturity. They're going to understand all of God's word as it is revealed, that is important to them, because the word of God is revealed. It has to be revealed. God tells us to be like children in malice, but be like grown men in understanding. Let's go there. So in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us that. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, be you like children. But understanding, be men. This word, men, is indicating being perfect or of a ripe age. In other words, a person who is spiritually mature. A person who is going on to perfection. So don't be like children in understanding. Be like a grown man, a spiritual man in understanding. And obviously that understanding is based upon the Word of God. That's what this is referring to. The next point that I have about maturing is, maturing means going on to perfection in wisdom. And in this context, wisdom means knowing when and where and how to use God's word to make a righteous decision. You have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Knowledge are the facts. Understanding is seeing how it works together. Wisdom is knowing how to live it as a way of life. And a person can have knowledge and understanding but still not have wisdom because they don't incorporate it into their lives. That's a mature person. That's a person who's going to be moving forward. They're going to be putting the Word of God active in their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught or that come to nothing. Their wisdom is going to come to nothing. Because the knowledge that really matters is the knowledge of God. It's the wisdom of God. Having this godly way of life incorporated into our being. And that's what it says, that they are going to be perfect. Are perfected. So wisdom is an absolute essential to a spiritual mature person. Maturing also means fearing God and hating evil. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. Obvious question that I think that we need to ask ourselves is do we hate evil or do we tolerate it? And I would dare say that there's too many times that we as a church of God, the people of God, have tolerated it. We go, well, we know it's wrong, but there is no but. Wrong is wrong is wrong. And a mature person is going to be able to point it out, that is wrong. And they're going to stay away. They're going to want to stay away from that. In James chapter 3, God shows us that controlling the tongue is also a characteristic of the maturity in Christ, the going on to perfection. James chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm just going to read this one verse. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, and that's what he's saying, if he doesn't offend in the word, that same man is perfect, is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If he can bridle the tongue, if he can control what he says, he's a mature Christian. He's going on to perfection. If he can't, he's a babe, at least, at best. He's a babe in Christ and can't control his tongue. But a mature person, it says, he is a perfect man. He's going on to perfection. He can control his tongue. He can control what he says. So when we become fully mature, God will have perfected his holiness within us. As Christians, as followers, as believers of Jesus Christ, we will be diligently cleansing ourselves up, and we will be abandoning the filth of our flesh and of our spirit. We will be putting a check on those things. We will be dealing with those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do we want to have the holiness of God in our lives? Yeah. I doubt that there's any Christian who would say, no, I don't want the holiness of God. Yes, we want the holiness of God. Well, one of the things that a mature person is going to be doing is going to be doing these things. He's going to be cleaning these things up. Do we have these things? Yes. Why? We're still in the flesh. It doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it right. But we're going to be working on it. We're going to be cleansing. We're going to be giving it over to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And there's another whole story sermon in itself there. The mature disciple will also be a generous giver. He will be a person who realizes that the true treasures are in heaven. True treasures are not part of the stuff of this earth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Matthew 19, 21. Jumping into it, and it says, if you will be perfect. If you will be perfect. Remember what the topic is? Going on to perfection. Going forward in maturity. If you will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now you have to understand the whole context of that story there, what's going on, but the principle is there that we would recognize there's stuff on the earth, and then there's the promises and the blessings of God in heaven. Which one do we want to focus on? Which one is the mature Christian going to be focusing on? Does that mean that a wealthy person, a very rich person, couldn't have stuff in this world? That's not the topic at all. That's not the issue. It's where's the focus? And also, brethren, God's love or charity, and there is a difference of those two words. I'm not going to go through to try and explain it in the context of this sermon, but whichever word you would want to use there. But God's love or charity being exercised daily in our lives is also essential toward our bonding with God and with man. It is absolutely essential that it is there. The mature Christian is going to be working on this or going to have this in their lives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. And I hope you understand and hope you realize that every one of these points that I've talked about, every one of these characteristics, I'm reading one place. There are many. There are many. I want to cover the topic, even if it's in a brief way, but it gets enough points across with scriptures enough that if you want to spend more time in doing it, you can go back and spend this time in studying and putting all the scriptures together, because there are more. But let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Colossians 3 and verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So we understand, a mature Christian is going to understand that exercising daily this love of God and this love toward man is going to be there daily, and it is an important point for going on to maturity. We will understand that. This is what a person is going to have. And above all things, put on charity. So, brethren, let us move forward. Let us go on unto perfection so that we may stand before God the Father as a perfect, mature person whom, when Jesus Christ returns. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Colossians 1, 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. Brethren, let us have integrity, and let us be diligent in our efforts to grow and to keep on growing until we completely reach maturity and become like our Lord and our Savior and our older brother, Jesus Christ. Let's keep on moving forward. Let's do it. Please go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm telling you now, I'm ending the sermon with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Is this describing a person who was going on to perfection? Absolutely. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Because if these things be in you and abound and are growing and are bubbling up and grow and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But the other side, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Is this talking about the world, or is this talking about a believer? It's talking about the church. It's describing a babe in Christ or a person who is a mature going on to perfection in Christ. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I add, amen. Truth. This is the topic of going on to perfection. And now the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.